Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming, and thank you for accommodating the changed time, the new time. This is as a result of Minyanim getting restarted in our neighborhood. So because of Mincha Maariv, we had to change to 9 o'clock. So I think going forward, I don't know how many more weeks we have, but Mistama through June, the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. So thank you for accommodating the time. As I mentioned, we did just start Minyanim last night. We started Mincha Maariv Minyanim outdoors, socially distanced, masks, everything, maximum of 12 people, all of that. But so some shilas have started coming in as a result of the restart of Minyanim. So I want to share with you two shilas. They're both tefillin related, interestingly enough, but two shilas as a result of the starting of Minyanim. One shilah was, a person texted me, given the current backyard minyan starting, can one put his tefillin boxes and bag inside his plastic talus bag and put it on the ground when davening? Meaning the Minyanim are set up in such a way where there are chairs set up throughout the yard, but there are no tables. There are no shtenders. There's nowhere to put your tefillin down. So can you just put your tefillin in a plastic bag, in the plastic talus bag, not the tefillin, while you're wearing the tefillin, the actual boxes that hold the tefillin, put them in the bag and then put that on the floor? Is there any problem with putting such items on the floor? That was shaila number one. Shaila number two, someone texted, was as follows. As many are now returning to Minyan, some are cautious and want to wear gloves to these Minyanim, meaning, the CDC over the course of the past few months kept on changing their mind about what safe practices are. So initially we were told gloves, that's really, really important. Masks, that's silly. Unless you're sick, don't bother wearing a mask. Why would you wear a mask? And then they changed their mind, and now gloves apparently are not really important at all, but masks, that's what's really, really important. So as they try to figure things out, so many people are machmir, like the Mishnah Rishona and like the Mishnah Achrona. They try to be machmir to wear gloves and to wear masks. So if you're being machmir to wear gloves as well, to wear surgical gloves as well, so how do you do the tefillin around your fingers? Is that okay? Can you put the tefillin over your gloves? Is there any heter to do that? Or is that a chatzitza that would be a problem on some level? So those are our two shilas. As usual, I'm going to ask you to vote on which one we do. I apologize if they're not as exciting as they normally are, but I think they're good halachic topics over here. So it looks like shila number one is winning by a landslide. Two, but not fair. Why is it not fair?
I want to know the answer to both.
You are, okay, so Bez Hashem, maybe we'll mention both. Okay, but all right, so we'll start with shaila number one and we'll go from there. It happens to be that just going through the topic of shaila number one will probably yield a lot of halachos that come up in other contexts that are important to know, important to be familiar with. So let's start with the basics. The different levels of Kedusha that items can have. Different items can have different levels of Kedusha. Kedusha, there's that which is the Kedusha itself, the Kedusha Atzma. Then there's a level below that which is Tashmishe Kedusha. And then there's a level below that which is a Tashmish to Tashmish of Kedusha, which is a parallel to Tashmishe Mitzvah. A Tashmish to Tashmish of Kedusha has the same halachic status of Tashmishe Mitzvah. What are the items that belong in each of these categories, and what are the halachos of each of these categories? So when it comes to Kedusha Atzma, so the items that are included, the Gemara Megillah tells us, Sefer Torah, Tfilin, Mezuzah, Svarim, Shulchan Aruch in Or Chaim, Simkuf Nun Dalet, Sif Hei, Paskins this, all of these things are Kedusha. Not Tashmishe Kedusha, they are the Kedusha Atzma. And the Taz says in Or Chaim, Kufn and Dalit, that even printed Svarim are included in Kedusha Atzma, but the Stechemet points out that L'chora, handwritten, Stechemet is an encyclopedia. It's a beautiful encyclopedia of rabbinic literature. It happens to be that it's a fascinating Hakdama in the introduction to the Stechemet. He spells Ste, Sin, Dalit, not Hey, but Yud, Stei Chemed, and he writes in his introduction, he explains why he's allowed to call his Sefer Stei Chemed, even though Shin, Dalet, and Yud is a Shem Hashem. So one might mistake it for Shem Hashem. But so it has actually, it has to do with Shemos. It has to do with Shemos. Even the name of the Sefer has to do with Shemos, with Kedusha, with the Shem Hashem. But anyway, so in the Stei Chemed, he writes that clearly handwritten Torah is on a higher level of Kedusha than Svarim, which is pretty interesting, because it would turn out that if a person has a notebook from Shir that they attend, that they just handwrote notes, and they have actual Svarim, their handwritten notes have greater Kedusha than any actual Svarim that they have, because that was done by human hand. The Mishnah in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Vav, says that if a person is Mechabed as HaTorah, then Gufo Mechubed al Abrios. It's a great schar if a person shows proper respect to Torah, so then he will be respected, his body will be respected, he will be respected by the Brios. And conversely, Kala Mechalel as HaTorah, Gufo Mechulal al Abrios. We're not going to talk now about what Kavarat Torah means in all the different contexts, but one definition of Kavarat Torah certainly is being mechabed the actual Torah, the Kedusha, the actual items of Kedusha itself. The halacha is that Dvarim Shel Kedusha, the Rama writes in Yoredeya, Simen Resh Pei Beis, Si'if Zayin, that you're not allowed to put items of Kedusha on the ground. One is not allowed to place a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, on the floor, on the ground. So that is level number one. That's Kedusha Atzma. The level beneath that is Tashmishei Kedusha. So Tashmishei Kedusha is something that's an accessory of the Kedusha, like the Atzei Chayim of a Sefer Torah is a Tashmish, because it is an accessory to the actual cloth of the Sefer Torah. The Atzei Chayim are the handles, right? It's an accessory to. I remember once in our shul, one of the handles broke off of one of the Sefer Torah, so I called the Sofer, and he said, you know, you should probably call a carpenter. You know, this isn't like a Sofer. It's just a matter of attaching it. He said, enough people have done it over the years. I've called me over the years, and I learned how to do it, so I can fix it for you, but it's not really a Sofer's job. But anyway, so the Atzei Chaim of the Sefer Torah are not actual Kedusha. They are, they're Tashmishei Kedusha. Tefillin straps are Tashmishei Kedusha L'chora. The plastic boxes that tefillin are kept in are L'chora Tashmishei Kedusha. What are the rules? Well, first, some of the Gedarim. Sometimes, even if something does not come in direct contact with the Kedusha, it could still be Tashmishei Kedusha, such as an Aron Kodesh. It only touches the Atzei Chaim. It only touches the mantle of the Sefer Torah, the cover of the Sefer Torah. The Aron Kodesh doesn't actually touch the Ksav Shel Torah. It doesn't touch the cloth at all. And yet still, it has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. Why? So Pashtus is because it serves a function of honoring the Torah, that the function of the Aron is to give extra kavod to the Torah itself, and therefore it has a status of Tashmishei Kedusha. The Gemara Megillah is explicit that an Aron Kodesh has the status of Tashmishei Kedusha. Now that's really important, because Tashmishei Kedusha require Geniza. We once had a Shaila when the Hebrew Academy of Long Beach moved from their Long Beach campus to their Woodmere campus, their current Woodmere campus. They had this ginormous Aron Kodesh that was on the Long Beach campus that did not fit the decor of their Woodmere campus. They were not interested in bringing it with them to Woodmere. But it was Tashmishei Kedusha. So where are you going to find a place to bury it? And Pashtus, it needs Geniza. It needs to be buried. It's actual Tashmishei Kedusha. And Aron Kodesh is Tashmishei Kedusha. We just had the question we were discussing a couple of weeks ago on one of these Zoom calls with our poskim. So we had a call with Morena of Shechter Shlita and Morena of Willig Shlita and I don't remember who else, Rabbi. There were a number of Rabbanim on the call, so my role on the call was just to pose the halachic shailas. They weren't all my shailas, but they just were trying to keep some sort of seder that someone would ask these shailas. So I asked Rav Shechter, when minyanim start all over in people's houses, so they're going to need to keep a Sefer Torah in their home. So I said, first of all, is there any halacha people need to know about keeping a Torah in their home? Is there anything that they have to do? I don't know. I grew up on stories about someone who was having terrible shalom bias problems, and they said, and they went to a makubal, and the makubal said, well, describe your house to me. What does it look like? Oh, well, you know, we have the svarim shelf, and we have the china cabinet, and we have our family heirloom, the Sefer Torah, we have the big screen TV. And the makubal said, wait, stop right there. the stira between the big screen TV and the Sefer Torah, that's your problem with the shalom bias. And the next day, they threw the Sefer Torah out of the house. So that's the story that I grew up on. But people are nervous about holding a Sefer Torah in their house. They may not be so nervous about having a minion in their backyard, but holding a Sefer Torah in their house gets people very nervous. So Rav Shach said there aren't really so many halachos. Of course, you need to keep it in Aron Kodesh, though. He just mentioned that, like, of course, it's got to be in an Aron Kodesh. You can't just keep it outside of an Aron Kodesh. So he said, well, where are we going to find, like, you know, we have 9 minyanim going on, you know, in backyards right now. Where am I going to find 9 mini Aron Kodeshes? He said, yeah, sometimes the Chevra Kadisha has 1. They have 1, maybe 2. They don't have 9 for each shul. So we started a discussion. Some of the Rabbanim were discussing, should we have an Aron Kodesh, speak to that carpenter, should we have an Aron Kodesh built for, or multiple little boxes, you know, built for all these Sifrei Torah? So Rabbi Rice said, you can't do that. You know what kind of Seamus problem we're going to have after that? That we're going to have all these Arons that we're going to have nowhere to put, we're going to have a major Seamus problem. It's taka true, it would be a huge problem. So Baruch Hashem, when these kinds of things happen, so normally Rabbi Willig always accepts the psak of Rav Shechter. You know, when Rav Shechter says something, if Rav Shechter says, then I accept the psak. That's what Rav Shechter is the posek hador, Rav Shechter is the gadol, I accept the psak. But when he says something that's like, you know, really hard to implement, Rabbi Willig sometimes rescues us. So Rabbi Willig said, no, you should put it away in a cabinet somewhere or a closet, that it should be put somewhere that, you know, he doesn't think you need to build a special Aron for the Sefer Torah. But the Aron has actually has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. The Gemara Megillah Chav Vavam Beis tells us that that's the case. Rav Shechter and Eretz HaTzvi and Simin Yud Beis Os Gimel points out that the Iker Shoresh and Yesod of all Inyanei Kedusha all emanates from Kedusha Satorah. And therefore, anything that's connected to Ksav Shel Torah, that's what categorizes something as Tashmishei Kedusha. And that's what he describes. That's where Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses comes from. The Iker Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses is because of the Aron with the Torah in it. And a Beis HaKnesses without an Aron that has a Sefer Torah doesn't have Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. If you don't have an Aron and a Sefer Torah in the Beis HaKnesses, certainly not in the, you know, in Melo Muvan HaMilah, it doesn't have, in the full sense of the word, it doesn't have a status of full Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. La Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in some Kufn and Dalet Siv Gimel, Argus Shinosin Bo Sefer Torah, Dinok Tashmisha Kedusha, that it has the din of Tashmisha Kedusha, requires Geniza. So the Poskim already raised the Shaila. I discussed this in my Sefer, in the Chelek Beis of my Sefer Siman Aleph. Poskim already raised the Shaila about why it should have Tashmishei Kedusha. After all, it doesn't touch the Sefer Torah itself. It only touches the Atzei Chaim. And the Atzei Chaim themselves are only a Tashmish. So shouldn't the Aron be a Tashmish to Tashmish? Shouldn't it be one more step removed? So Rav Moshe writes that Be'emes, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Bizmanenu, Af Aron Gufei, Isa, Bekarben Sanu, Pergmeneir, Simendal, Dil, Didon, Dil, Malbishna, Sefer Torah, Bimit Pachas, Mu'il, Havi Aron, Tashmish to Tashmish. Rav Moshe says what the Gemara was talking about was an Aron that actually came in direct contact with the cloth. But nowadays, our Arons do not come in direct contact with the cloth, and therefore, even though the Gemara says explicitly that an Aron is a din of Tashmish and Kedusha, not so anymore. So if Halb wanted to rely on Rav Moshe, or if we wanted to build all these Arons and rely on Rav Moshe, so we would have had what to rely on, that it only has a din of a Tashmish to Tashmish. So that's the Shita of Rav Moshe. But most Poskim do not agree with that. Most Poskim assume it has a din of actual Tashmish and Kedusha. Kedusha. Why? Why would it have a din of actual Tashmisha Kedusha? So two basic approaches. The Mishnah Berurah and Kufnun Dalet Sivkan Ches says that Kedusha Sa'arun comes from the fact that it's miyuchad for the covet of the Sefer Torah. It doesn't have to touch the Sefer Torah if it's miyuchad specifically to give honor to the Torah. And that's how he explains the Pesach of the Ramah, that an Arun that's not made l'kavod HaTorah, but l'shmira bi'alma, like an Arun that's built in a wall, a closet, that would not be Tashmishei Kedusha. It would have to be an Arun that's made just for the sake of the covet of the Torah. This is based on the Gemara Megillah, Chafavim Beis, that Rava says, Hani zvili d'chumshi v'kamtari d'sifri Tashmish Kedusha ninu v'nignazin. So Gemara says, Pshita? No, ma'adetem hani lav l'kavod avidon l'neture bi'alma avida. That I might have thought that which is not, that these items are not really made l'kavod, they're only made for protection, and if that's the case, they would not have a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. That is one approach. The Chasam Sofer in Chelek Vav Simin Yud, however, gives another approach as to why the Aron has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. And he writes, V'tayim anir li, Mishum dekama pa'amim, Hamit pachas k'tzarim, V'atzim ha-sefer Torah nogea pa'aron ha-kodesh, Ulufa amim, kishemafshit ma-sefer Torah, munuch lav b'limit pachas klal. There are many times that what might happen is that the mantle might get pulled up a little bit, and the actual cloth might touch the Aron. It might come in actual contact with the Aron. And since that could happen sometimes, therefore, it becomes Tashmishei Kedusha. Wow, so that would turn out that there might be some significant nafkaminas between Rav Moshe and the Chasam Sofer. I know in my shul, before we started construction, my old shul, we had a safe. That's where the Sifrei Torah are actually kept. But then around the safe, someone built a very beautiful cabinet that makes it look nice and makes it much more presentable. Very beautiful, you know, nice wood, mahogany kind of cabinet around the safe. So which one has Kedusha? Which one is Tashmishei Kedusha? The safe? Or the wood cabinet around it. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, that which is made l'kavod. What's made l'kavod? Not the safe. The safe is clearly, it's not even nice. It's clearly there just for protection. The thing around it, oh, that's l'kavod. According to the Chasam Sofer, it's not about l'kavod. Which one comes in contact every once in a while, every now and then, with the actual klaf? Oh, that's got to be the safe itself. So that l'chara would be an afkamina between the Chasam Sofer and Rav Moshe. But anyway, that's as far as an Aron Kodesh is concerned. So Tashmishei Kedusha requires Geniza. The Magen Avraham holds it's an Issa Doraisa to destroy Tashmishei Kedusha. It can't be used for mundane purposes, can't be used in any demeaning way, certainly when it comes to Tashmishei Kedusha. What about a Tashmish to Tashmish? So a Tashmish to Tashmish is that third level. It does not service the Kedusha at all. It services the Tashmishei Kedusha, like the plastic bag that contains the nice tefillin bag, right? So the nice tefillin bag services the tefillin. The plastic bag is to protect the tefillin bag that Bubby made, because Bubby would be very unhappy if you messed up the tefillin bag. So that's the whole function of the plastic. It doesn't really help the tefillin at all. It just protects the bag. I remember one of my kids once in Pesach, we went away for a Pesach, and one of my kids accidentally left his tefillin at the hotel. So my mother said, he left his tefillin bag at the hotel? I said, it's even worse. He left his tefillin at the hotel. He left his tefillin bag at the hotel. So that's, the plastic bag is clearly just there to protect the tefillin bag. The actual nice tefillin bag is Tashmishei Kedusha, because it serves the tefillin, even if it doesn't touch the tefillin, if you say, like the Mishnah Berurah, that anything that's made l'kavod of the Kedusha, even if it doesn't touch the Kedusha, just like the Aron Kodesh, the actual tefillin bag would have a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. According to the Chasam Sofer, l'chora, the tefillin bag won't have a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. But assuming like the Mishnah Berurah, l'chora would have a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. This is similar to the Shulchan Aruch in Yarder, Simon Reish Pei Beis Sifta Zayin, says the bells of a Sefer Torah have Tashmishei Kedusha because they beautify the Torah, even though they don't actually physically touch the Sefer Torah itself. Then, Tashmish de Tashmish, Prima Gadim writes that you're allowed to use Tashmish de Tashmish even for mundane purposes, and even while you're still using it for the Kedusha itself. So if you want to put something in that plastic bag around your tefillin bag that is not at all Kedusha related, some tissues you want to keep in there in case you have a cold or something, in case you have to sneeze during davening, you want to keep some tissues in there, says the Prima Gadim, that's perfectly fine. It also does not require Geniza. The tefillin bag, the plastic bag around your tefillin bag rips a little bit, does not require Geniza. Rav Nissim, there's a machlokas whether you could throw it in the garbage. Rav Nissim Karelitz Paskin, that you can be thrown in the garbage if it's not clearly recognizable as a mitzvah item. Meaning if someone who would see it wouldn't necessarily say, oh, that's an item you get at a Judaica store because that's made for tefillin. They'll just say, oh, it's just a plastic protective case. Could be used for anything. I don't know. Ours are usually, the things that we have around our tefillin bags and talis bags. I've never seen them used for anything else. So I don't know if, so that luchara would be a problem according to Nissim Kralitz. Rav Vazner held that even if it's recognizable, you could throw it in the garbage. It's a tashmish, Once it's torn up, you're not using it anymore, you could throw it out. Rav Elyashiv held, but in a respectful way, wrap it up in something and throw it in the garbage. Rav Elyashiv held that even if you wrap it up, you still cannot throw it in the garbage because the garbage is inherently a bizayon. So wrapping doesn't help it. You could burn it, although, I don't know, burning plastic is probably not a great idea, but you could burn it, but you can't throw it in the garbage because there's no way to throw something out in a respectful way. How do you throw it? So we always say, wrap it in a plastic bag. So that's what Rav Azner says. But Rav Elyashiv says, what, you wrap it in a plastic bag and then throw the plastic bag in the garbage with last night's the chicken bones or something? That's still not respectful. There's no way to make it respectful when it's in the garbage. Okay, so next thing to discuss in order to arrive at an answer to our question over here is, are you allowed to put Kedusha items on the floor? Or, what items are you not allowed to put on the floor? Is there such a din of putting some sort of issue of putting things on the floor? So the Ramban Yerideya says that you can't put Kedusha items on the ground, but the Shach, this is in Reish Pei Beis, the Shach quotes Beis Yosef that a Sefer Torah, how high off the ground does it have to be? That a Sefer Torah can be kept 10 tfachim off the ground, or at the very least 3 tfachim off the ground. Someone just texted me last week that they had to transport svarim from one place to the other. So they said, I could put it on the back seat of my car, but if I do that, every time I stop, if I make a short stop, all the svarim are going to come flying forward. It's going to be a big bizayon. Or I could put them on the floor of my car. The svarim I could put on the floor of my car, and then they'll be more secure. But it's on the floor. So you're allowed to put svarim on the floor. So the Shach writes that a Sefer Torah certainly has to be at least 3 tvachim, ideally 10 tvachim off of the ground. But he says, all of that is a midas chasidus. Meikar adin, it only really needs to be 1 tvach off the ground. That may be helpful for the guy who's bringing svarim in the car, because the car itself is elevated 1 tefach off of the ground, at least. It may not be 3 tefach, it probably is, I don't know. But it's at least 1 tefach off of the ground, and therefore, l'chora, he would be allowed to put it in the car. I recommended that he should put some layer of something under it, cardboard or something, or a sheet or something, just something that it shouldn't be in the same place where people's feet go, where people stomp their feet. So if you have like a box of svarim, I think you could put the box on the floor, and we'll get to that in a moment. Why that's the case anyway? That you could put directly on the floor. I have copies of my svarim in the basement. That's what happens when you print svarim. You just your basement becomes a warehouse for svarim. So the boxes are directly on the floor and then piled up, but they're directly on the floor. So why is that okay? We'll get to that in a moment. So strictly speaking, Kedusha items such as Sefer Torah cannot go on the floor. Shach says, Midas Chasidus, 10 tvachim, 3 tvachim off the floor, but Meikar Adin, really, 1 tvach off the floor would suffice. Now, if the Meikar Adin of a Sefer Torah is really 1 tvach off the floor, so a number of the contemporary poskim in the Sefer Ginzei HaKodesh, he quotes a number of the contemporary poskim say that it makes sense that other svarim can be even more makel, and therefore, for other items of Kedusha that are not quite on the level of a Sefer Torah, you could rely on 1 tefach for sure, even the Chalchila. And maybe, if it's munach b'kli, it would even be good enough. If you just put it in another kli, that would be good enough that you'd then be allowed to put that kli on the floor. The stipler was makbid by svarim not to do that. The stipler was makbid that is svarim shelves, that the bottom shelf should be at least one tefach off of the floor. Now, typically, well-built, I'm surrounded by svarim shelves, well-built svarim shelves have like a lip at the bottom that's actually, that's actually elevated. Elevated a little bit so that the bottom shelf is a little bit. I wonder if it's a tefach. I don't know. The IKEA ones are not a are very close to a tefach, but not quite. So the Frankel's ones look a little higher. So but the stipler was makbid that it should be a tefach off of the floor because the svarim were being placed there. But there's room to argue, a lot of room to argue that's not really required. Me'ikar adin, the Bir Halacha and Simem Gimel and Dibra Maskul Manichan says that you can put tefillin in a kli she'eno kelion. You can put tefillin in a kli as long as it's not a kli that's miyuchad for the tefillin. If it's less than a tefach and keep it less than a tefach from the ground, you only need a tefach for tefillin when it's in the kli that's designated for it. But that's for the actual tefillin itself. So where does that leave us? Let's go back to our case. So clearly, the tefillin cases, what are they? Those plastic cases that hold the tefillin, or even the plastic covering of the tefillin shel yad. What status of kedusha do they have? So it would seem to be that they're in the category of tashmishe kedusha, not tashmish to tashmish, but tashmishe kedusha. Why? Because what they actually serve to protect or to honor is the kedusha atzma, the tefillin batim themselves are kedusha atzma. But wait a second, is that true? I thought kedusha atzma is ksav shel Torah. So the parshios are kedusha atzma. Why would the batim of the tefillin be kedusha atzma? No, shouldn't the batim be tashmishe kedusha, and then the plastic coverings of the bottom be tashmish to tashmish, in which case you're really totally fine putting it on the floor next to you. You don't even need to put it in the plastic bag. Just put it on the floor next to you. You'll be totally fine. It's only tashmish to tashmish. You can even put it in bizayon l'chora. So the reason the poskim reject that, and the reason the poskim assume that the bottom of tefillin has a status of tashmish kedusha, is primarily because of the shel rosh. The shel rosh has an actual Ksav Shel Torah on the Shel Rosh with the Shin. Since the Shin is part of the Shem Hashem that's spelled out with the Dalet in the back of the Ritzuos and the Yud on the Shel Yad, so the Poskim say the Shel Rosh has a din of Tashmishe Kedusha. Prima Gadim says that, yeah, that's the Shel Rosh, but the Bayis Shel Yad itself does not have a din of Tashmishe Kedusha. It's only a din of Tashmishe Kedusha, and therefore the covering on the bayis of the Shel Yad is only Tashmish to Tashmish. However, most poskim assume not that way. They assume that the batim of both tefillins are Kedusha Atzma. The coverings of both Shel Rosh and Shel Yad are Tashmishe Kedusha. In Leket Yosher or Chaim, page 15, it says that when the plastic cover fell on the ground, the Trumas Hadeshen would pick it up and he would kiss it. If it was Tashmish to Tashmish, he wouldn't do that. You kiss Tashmishe Kedusha, you don't kiss a Tashmish to Tashmish of Kedusha. But even beyond that, you could be mekel anyway, l'chora. Even if it were Tashmish, even if these boxes are Tashmishe Kedusha, the halacha is you're not allowed to put Kedusha on the ground. You're not allowed to put tefillin on the ground. You're not allowed to put Sefer Torah on the ground. We don't find that independent of the Kedusha that you're not allowed to put Tashmishe Kedusha on the ground, and particularly if they're being placed inside of another bag, right? They're being placed inside of a larger plastic bag that covers the talus bag. Covers the talus bag? What is that? That's just, talus is Tashmishe Mitzvah. Tashmishe Mitzvah has a din of Tashmish to Tashmish. So the actual nice talus bag is the Tashmish to Tashmish to Tashmish, and the plastic one is the Tashmish to Tashmish to Tashmish to Tashmish. So, you know, it would seem that, certainly it would be best if you had like a shopping bag, that cliche no kelion, and you put them all in the shopping bag, you put that on the floor, that would be fine. We do that all the time, right? When you go, you travel somewhere. Oh, it used to be that people could go traveling. So there were these big giant places that cost many millions of dollars to build called airports. And people would go and they would bring their tefillin in their carry-on, and they would have to go to the bathroom sometimes with their tefillin. But the carry carry-on was very close to the ground. Are they making sure that that tefillin is a tefach elevated from the ground? No, you're not. Why? Because it's in another kli. It's in a kli sheino kelyon. And it's a kis betoch kis, so you even allowed to roll it into the bathroom, even though your tefillin are inside of it. So it would seem, meikra din, that this would be mutter anyway, but certainly, 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 if you were to put it into a plastic bag, that would certainly be okay. So that's the answer to shayla number one. As far as shayla number two, okay, we have 30 seconds left. If you're wearing the gloves, Me'ikra din Rav Avad Yosef has a fascinating tshuva about whether a wristwatch is a problem of chatzitza when it comes to tefillin. Do you need to remove your wristwatch? And the answer is, says Rav Avad, we're not going to go into all the lumdus right now, the answer is no, you don't need to remove your wristwatch. It's not really chatzitza. Chatzitza is only a problem up here on the upper part of the arm, maybe the first wrapping. But once you get down to where you're wrapping the ritzuos, chatzitza is not really an issue, and therefore, he says it's nice if you want to remove it, but it's not really required. This comes up more often than by watches, where it's easy enough to remove, or a Fitbit, it's easy enough to take off. Someone asked me last week as I was giving shir, I was getting animated, I was lifting up my hands. Someone actually put in the comments, why are you wearing your watch on your right hand? the answer is because I don't want to have to take it off every morning when I'm putting on my tefillin. So I wear it on my right hand. But it's pretty easy to remove a Fitbit or a watch from your arm, but sometimes people are, when you have a baby, so in the hospital they give you the bracelet so some people don't think which hand do you want the bracelet on. They just stick out their left hand and they don't realize that their tefillin hand, and they're not allowed to take their baby unless they have that bracelet. It's a security thing. So that's me'ikra din, perfectly fine. It's not a chatzitza, and certainly I wouldn't say kal v'chomer further down, because the fact that we tie the ritzus in a certain way around our fingers may make it even a higher level, but pashtus is that further down it's also not a chatzitza if there's some good medical reason that a person needs to be wearing the gloves. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos, and I thank you so much for coming to learn together this evening.
Thank you for number two.
Good Shabbos.
Oh, I missed some comments over here. I got to open up the comments. Is also Tashmisha Kedusha. Yeah, that's also a good point.
How did Rebbe answer the question of the guy who's transporting this farm?
I told him he should put something down on the floor of the car and then put the farm on top of that.
It would be better to have the farm from the beginning on the floor as opposed to
I think so. Look, when I transport a Sefer Torah, I wouldn't do that. I'm doing a lot of transporting Sefer Torah now, so I just put it in the seatbelt. I stand it up and I seatbelt it in.
And also, in terms of Shabbos candles, Erev Shabbos, what has the status of Kedusha's Atzmo?
No Kedusha, because Shabbos candles is just, it's just a Tashmisha mitzvah. Right, it's hooked to the mitzvah, so, but it's not actual kedusha.
Like, not the tea lights with the wax, it is not an issue.
Right.